Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. A better business starts with planning for profit. Download our free course, Profit for Small Firm Architects, at entrearchitect.com/freecourse. This is Entree Architect Podcast, and you're listening to episode 153. Welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, whether you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. One of my favorite parts of growing Entree Architect and producing this podcast is that I have this opportunity to speak with passionate people about pursuing their dreams. I think most of us architects are born dreamers. I think it's part of us, part of who we are as architects. We're creative people, we're born dreamers. But I also think that we tend to be afraid to pursue those dreams, that they're always just stuck in our head, and very rarely do we find a way to reach those dreams and live those dreams. Success in achieving your greatest goals can only occur by doing one thing. Start. You need to make a plan and then take that first step and move towards your dreams. You need to start. This week at Entree Architect Podcast, I'm speaking with architect Victor Caban Diaz about big ideas and pursuing your passion as a small firm architect. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is sponsored by True Style, the leader in high-end architectural interior doors. Have you checked them out yet? Learn more at truestyle.com. And FreshBooks, the easiest way to send invoices, manage expenses, track your time, and get paid faster. Learn more at freshbooks.com/architect. Victor Caban Diaz, welcome back to Entree Architect Podcast.
Hey, Mark, glad to be here.
Yeah, I say back because you were here very briefly in episode 124 when we did the announcements for the Architecture Business Plan competition. And we'll talk about that a little bit. But Victor he's the founder of Building Ingenuity, an architecture and development firm based in Fort Lauderdale in Florida. He's an architect. He's a developer. He's a BIM consultant. He's an AIA leader. He was just elected vice president and president-elect for the Fort Lauderdale chapter of AIA, and he's so much more. He's probably one of the most passionate architects I've ever met about achieving his dreams. He has this idea of what he wants to do, and he's on target for doing what he wants to do, and he's passionate about it. And so I wanted to have this opportunity to bring him to you. Victor's also a friend of Entree Architect Academy, where he presented a session called Optimizing BIM for Your Architecture Firm. So he's a BIM consultant. He's doing all these different things. But I've invited him back here to share his story and allow him to sort of maybe inspire you to reach for your dreams. He's doing some really, really interesting and innovative things with his firm. And I wanted to bring him here and share it with the Entree Architect community. But before we do that, I want to do what we always do. Before we get into the depth of what we're going to talk about today, I want to hear Victor's story. So Victor, could you share your origin story? I'd love to know when you learned about architecture, what inspired you to become an architect, and share that story. Share that story from where you were to where you are today.
Well, it's kind of a little funny story. It really started back in high school. I actually didn't make the decision to study architecture till I had to make a decision on where I was going to go to college. Because growing up, I had all these ideas. Oh, I want to be an astronaut. You know, I was thinking about very passionately being a comic book artist. But, you know, the funny thing is that I was very involved in collecting comic books and collectible card games. And for some reason, I had this idea, like, I guess people deflated my dreams at that time, that comic books weren't going to go anywhere. The internet was going to make it die. Little I know, it would be a huge industry. Music, movies are blossoming everywhere, left and right. But, you know, I put that dream away and I was like, okay, well, what am I really good at? In high school, I was very good at math and art. And I was like, I need a career where I can do both. So, you know, just researching careers, architecture was the one I kind of landed on. I was like, okay, well, I can use my talent for math and art in this career. So, you know, obviously I researched a bunch of universities and I ended up landing at the University of Miami in Florida. And I purposely was choosing universities in big cities because I came from a little small town in Connecticut. And I wanted to get more exposure to more culture and to life in general, like social life. And so I went down to Miami, got my bachelor's in architecture. It was an accredited program. And I started my career. And I would actually say in the beginning of my career, it was really tough. You know, as with most architects, you know, doing a lot of red lines, you know, not really feeling like, oh, wow, I'm not doing any designing. I thought I would be, you know, doing curvy buildings and everything. And all I keep doing is these markups that the project manager keeps doing for years and years. I actually started out doing 3D modeling first. And then the principal of the firm asked me if I wanted to grow or if I just wanted to be an 3D modeler for the rest of my life. I said, no, I want to be an architect. So I had to quit the 3D modeling and pass it on to the next intern. You know, I started moving on in my career and I ended up jumping around a lot, actually, from firm to firm every 2 to 3 years. And the reason why, you know, in the middle of my career, we hit the recession and it was just really hard to like advance and feel like I was bringing value because my salary was going nowhere. And I had the experience where if I jumped around, you know, every once in a while, I had an easier time convincing new people to give me a higher salary than the people who actually, you know, I was working for, you know, so that's why I ended up jumping around a lot. And just recently, I was working for Styles in Fort Lauderdale, and I decided that, you know, it was time. I had been the idea for Building Ingenuity. I've actually had it in my brain for over 5 years. I came up with it back in 2010. You know, I'd been following the whole architect as developer concept. When it came out, I heard about it through, you know, AIA. I attended conference workshops on it, and it was just really, it really amazed me of you know, the fact that you could control your project and actually reap the rewards from it with residual income. And I had always been about residual income because I had an experience with something early in my architecture career called Amway. And I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with Amway. It's a direct selling kind of multi-tiered. Some people call it a pyramid. But the experience in Amway, I wasn't very successful in it, but the concept and the experience I had in the few years I was in it was, left an impact on me, because I realized, wow, you know, it would be really interesting if there was a way I could replicate this through architecture, where I could help other people succeed through architecture. And that's kind of where Building Ingenuity started blossoming in my head. And then when I saw architect as a developer, everything just kind of connected.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, here's a way I could help other architects through architecture and actually develop residual income. So just recently I left Styles from Fort Lauderdale, and I just started Building Ingenuity, which I've had on the side for a while, but now I'm going full time. And through Building Ingenuity, as you had stated before, I offer three services: traditional architecture, which is focused on residential, mixed use, and commercial. I also do parking garages. And I do BIM consulting, where I focus on architects. Architects are my target market. And I help other architects either using traditional building BIM consulting, or I actually will help them train their staff to learn how to use Revit and BIM better. And I also train their upper management and executives and project managers on how to manage a team and how to structure their firm so that the transition from AutoCAD to Revit is smooth and they can make a profit rather than feeling like they're losing their shirt every time they do a Revit project. It's very frustrating to a lot of architects, and that's where I saw a lot of opportunity. And then lastly, as you know very well from my experience in the competition, I do building development. I recently bought a property near here, near downtown Fort Lauderdale, and I'm going to be developing a duplex. I'm currently in the design phase, and I'm getting estimates from a contractor buddy of mine, and that thing's going to get going very soon.
Exciting, very exciting. So you briefly talked about your idea for sort of creating Building Ingenuity to help other architects. Get into that a little bit. Get into a little bit more depth. And what do you mean by that? You talked about Amway, which is a network marketing company that sort of built, you know, you build a team, and that team sort of buys and sells products, and people who are upper level management get residual income from the payments of other people. So what is your thought for Building Ingenuity for that part of it?
Well, another thing that inspired me, with in addition to Amway and architect as developer, for this idea was a book called The Richest Man in Babylon. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of it? It's a basic business book that a lot of people who are in business recommend people read. And it's about creating wealth. And in the book, the main thing that they talk about is investing in other people's talents. And when you invest in someone who has a talent, there's a lot of opportunity there for you to make money. And I think the best people to invest in architects are other architects. We understand architects and what we do. And through the architect as developer concept, I'm looking to perfect that business model, you know, as Jonathan Siegel teaches it. And there are a lot of other architects I've met that also do this business model. And then I'm going to teach other architects, not only teach them how to do it, but invest in their business as well. And so I see myself as not only as an architect, but a venture capitalist, where the profits I make from my own company, I'm going to be investing in other architects so that they can achieve financial stability through real estate. And I also reap rewards by helping them out. And then I also foresee, in the essence of Amway, creating a social network of architects who are helping each other, and everyone's reaping rewards.
Yeah, that was the part that got me really excited. I love your concept. I was a jury member on the architecture business plan competition where you were a finalist. And that was the thing, that innovative idea, that idea that you would create an organization that helps other architects sort of break into this market that everybody wants to do, but nobody knows how. For one, you would teach them how. And two, you would help them financially figure that out, that you'd actually be an investor in some of those projects. I could imagine something like that growing, maybe even crowdfunding, where other architects can invest small amounts into other architects' projects, and then those architects become successful and then crowdfund other projects for other architects, and we just sort of build this network of helping support one another, both from a financial point of view, but also from a support and knowledge base point of view, that we start sharing our knowledge, which is a major theme of mine, is sharing what you know. You're doing that, and you're building a business based on that. I love it.
And the way I see it is, you know, we're already doing that in our firms. We just don't reap the rewards. The only person that reaps the rewards of that is the person who owns the firm. But project managers are constantly teaching younger architects how to, you know, come up in the profession. And you could do that and allow the younger architect, in my mind, to become an entrepreneur. You know, because one of the things about becoming an entrepreneur is you have to fail, you have to do things, you have to take risks. You know, but if you have a mentor with you who's showing you the way, it makes things a lot easier, and especially one that has a vested interest in your success. And being that architects, you know how the business runs, I don't think there's a better venture capitalist to be there mentoring you than one who knows how the profession works.
Let's take a quick break here to say thank you to two of our platform sponsors here at Entree Architect, True Style Doors and FreshBooks. As platform sponsors, these companies have provided funding and support for our overall mission to become an influential force in the profession of architecture. They recognize the need for small firms like you and me to build better businesses in order to be better architects. Have you ever gone back to a completed project for a visit and found the doors sticking? Or the seams splitting, and a very unhappy client about those doors? We're in the client happiness business here as small firm architects, and when a piece of our project fails to perform, especially one that our clients are touching and seeing and using every day, it makes us look bad. And True Style will make us look good. True Style is passionate about providing us small firm architects with the inspiration and the tools to transform our designs with the most authentic and distinctive doors available. And with more than 400 made-to-order styles, True Style offers beautifully stable, premium MDF doors for painted applications and 20 standard species of wood across all architectural categories, from traditional to contemporary and everything in between. They do everything. Every True Style door is made to order. True Style, driven by design. Visit truestyle.com and start designing your doors today. That's True Style, TRUSTILE.com. And in case you're wondering, 192 hours works out to about 2 business days a month. Why am I doing math here at Entree Architect? Well, if you're an architect and you're using FreshBooks, it's a cloud accounting software, that's the amount of administration time that you could be saving in this coming year, 2017. How? FreshBooks is so fast and so easy to use that it changes the way that you deal with your paperwork. FreshBooks has been completely redesigned from the ground up and custom built for the way we work as architects. With the new projects feature, you can share files and messages with your clients and your contractors and your employees. So you'll see how quickly things happen when all your conversations are in one place. And the new notification center is like your own personal assistant. You'll always know what's changed in your business since the last time you logged in to FreshBooks. And you'll also know what needs to be dealt with right now. Like overdue invoices, you'll know right there on the notifications page what's overdue and how it's overdue. And you can set up automatic reminders to your clients. That's my favorite feature, is you can get paid by credit card and you can send automatic reminders. So you send the invoice and then you can forget it and FreshBooks will do the rest. So when you're ready to give FreshBooks a try, go to freshbooks.com/architect, that's important, /architect, and sign up for your free 30-day unrestricted trial. You get the whole thing for 30 days for nothing. And you'll get the simplest way to be more productive, more organized, and most importantly, You'll get paid faster. And that is so important as architects. FreshBooks.com/architect. And be sure to enter Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section so they know that we sent you. Yeah, and so what's your timeline on this? So you're very early. You said you basically just started building Ingenuity as full-time. You've been doing it for a while, but it's just recently full-time. What's your timeline for, because you're not doing that now. You're not investing in other people's projects.
Correct.
What's sort of the plan for building Ingenuity and the phases that you're planning on going through?
Well, after my first project, obviously I intend to start the next project right away using equity from the first project, and then also from money that I'm going to be putting aside from the profits I earn from my architecture and BIM consulting. You know, I'm going to start recruiting other architects. I already have people in mind to kind of branch off, or you can call it franchise.
Yeah, talk about that idea of franchise. How would you do that?
Well, you know, obviously there are a lot of legalities that come with establishing a franchise, and you know, and I intend on, you know, meeting with attorneys to really nail down all of that stuff. But you know, once I've successfully created the income from one piece of real estate, and then I'm moving into the process, you know, I'm going to bring on another architect, financially back that person. You know, if they don't have their own financial backing, if they have their own financial backing, that would be great. And then also, you know, the equity that he can bring in from just sweat equity is also a contribution. So there's a lot of play here, because when owners typically invest in property, they have to hire an architect, but we are our own owners now. So we don't have to hire ourselves. We have our ingrained sweat equity in the project that we could choose to either pay ourselves or just leave it there as equity in the building. And that's something I intend to tap into with other architects.
And so when you talk about franchise, so you're sort of talking about expanding building Ingenuity with other architects and sort of opening other, you know, in other areas, in other regions.
Yeah, I foresee it to be very much like a real estate firm, in the sense that, you know, in real estate companies, everyone's under, you know, one, you know, like a REMAX, but it's right. That person's name, agent for REMAX. I foresee as that as, oh, it could be Orange Studio, a building Ingenuity firm.
Right. So you build the model, and then someone will take your model and execute on that model. And through that, they succeed, and then you know, maybe it's a licensing agreement or some sort of regular payment back to the main company. It's interesting.
Correct.
So talk about the current project that you have. You're very early. You just purchased the property. You're in the process of talking to contractors. Tell us about that and how you started that and what that project is.
Well, you know, Fort Lauderdale is a very hot and up and coming city. You know, the market down here is, a lot of people say in the real estate industry, is that Fort Lauderdale is always 5 years behind Miami. As you know, Miami is in the forefront of hot real estate in the nation. Miami is exploding. So, you know, Fort Lauderdale and Miami's been exploding for quite a while now, a couple of years after the recession kind of tailed off. And Fort Lauderdale is following that trend as well. You come down to downtown Fort Lauderdale and you're going to see cranes left and right, and even more in Miami. So I have knowledge of big developments that are coming around in certain areas of Fort Lauderdale. So I decided to find a piece of property close to some of those major developments so that I could reap the rewards of the increase in property value. So I snagged one that was within my kind of my budget, and I partnered with my parents on this one. And we bought a piece of property for about 120 grand. We put cash down on it. And it's in an upcoming neighborhood as well. I noticed that in this neighborhood that other developers were developing the same type of model, duplexes, quadplexes, triplexes. And that's the model I'm staying with right now, are those type of residential buildings. And the reason why is because you can get a residential loan on those versus anything above five units and up, you have to do a commercial loan, and those are they require you a higher down payment for that. So So I bought the property near downtown Fort Lauderdale. It was literally a 5-minute drive, and did all my due diligence. You know, got the surveyor, the geotech, and then we finally bought the property. And I'm in the design stages now. I have a contractor that I work closely with in the AIA, and the contractor has been giving me estimates on the variety of designs I've provided to him. So we're kind of, I have a target of $600,000 that I want the construction value for the actually not the construction but the whole value plus the land purchase. So it's really like $480,000 in construction value. That's trying what I'm trying to hit. And so I've had to kind of value engineer my original design because it came in a little high, so I can meet that. But I'm really excited about it. The property looks really nice, the design, and I'm working with the contractor, and I'm about to release my engineer so that we can go full throttle on construction documents and hopefully have break ground by summer.
When you said that you did some research and you knew that the areas that were developing, how did you do that? How did you know when you did the due diligence on this piece of property that this is a property that was undervalued because the development wasn't there yet, but it was coming?
Well, you know, I looked at, you kind of, when you're doing this kind of market research, you kind of have to drive through the neighborhoods. So I drove through several different neighborhoods here in Fort Lauderdale, and I went on to the property appraisers search engine, and I looked at, and this was countless of hours, just looking at different properties, comparables, you know, what the other properties were selling nearby, and whether or not there were properties of the type that I'm trying to do in that neighborhood. And I found this neighborhood, and I was driving through it, and it's kind of in a nice pocket. It's not in an area where it's already overdeveloped and the value is really high, and it's not in like a neighborhood that nobody wants to move into. It's like right in the middle. And I saw lots of other developers, like a lot of construction of duplexes and triplexes from other investors and developers going up all over the place in that neighborhood. And I found this one piece of property that was vacant, and it was the least priced compared to all the other vacant land in that area. And I was kind of wondering, why is that? Why is this one so small? I mean, so low. And then I approached the owner, and it happened that the owner was a out of town, an international owner, I think based out of Argentina. And the owner was going to put a duplex on that property. They actually put a duplex on the property right next to it, a very nice one, but they lost the ability to get financing for some reason here in the US. And they couldn't move forward with the project, so the land was kind of just sitting stagnant for them. So they wanted to get rid of it. So I made an offer on it, and I actually offered less, and they accepted. So you know, it was a pretty good bargain because the other properties around in that neighborhood were on the 150s, 170s, and I was able to snag it for about 120.
Oh, it's exciting! That's exciting! It's exciting to get the deal, and to just have the piece of property that you know that you have something to develop. It's very exciting.
And I would also like to add that on top of just driving around, I actually went around and knocked on doors and met with the neighbors because I wanted to see what type of people were living in that neighborhood. And I was really excited to see because I feel like it lends to the model of town of duplex I'm designing, that most of the people in that neighborhood were young millennials like myself who were developing families. They were professionals and they worked downtown, which is perfect because I was looking for that person that wanted a nice two and a half rental and that wanted to be close to downtown but didn't want to be in the hustle and bustle of the traffic. So it was perfect that the type of person that was moving into that neighborhood, and it's already established.
So what's your long-term plan? So you have this project, you've started the process, have this one development project. Like say in the next 5 years, where do you see yourself?
Well, I see myself with a large office filled with architecture firms of different types, because I kind of see my office being more like a co-working environment for architects, where every office is just a different firm and people can kind of come in, and if they're looking for a specific type of architect, you know, I'm sure that architect will be in-house, you know, because I want to make sure that the architecture firms we have some diversity. So it's almost like you can almost see it like a grocery store of architects. They can walk in and find somebody that they need, whether it's healthcare, a commercial, hotel, you know. But the point is that these architects are leveraging their design expertise and then doing development on the side as well. So it's not just strict doing architect as developer, because Jonathan Siegel preaches no clients.
Right.
I see it more as a hybrid. Like, we use our talents to enable the investment and the development, you know, because we can make, as architects, our equities in our brain. We can make money from thin air because we have the knowledge and know-how to make money. We just need clients. So we get those clients, and we, you know, and it's the reason why architects can start out of their home, because, you know, it's very low cost business. It's our talents that we offer. So you use your talents to create the income, to then invest it in residual income. And hopefully with time, the residual income becomes enough where you could either, you know, no longer work for clients and just keep investing on your own, or it'll allow you to be a little bit more pickier on the type of clients you you take on when you do projects.
So do you imagine that let's say you have multiple development projects now that you are building owners, you know, basically have many buildings that have rentals in them, you have plenty of income coming in. Do you imagine that you would continue working with clients, or would you just go pure development?
I believe that at a certain point, I'm going to go pure development, you know, because I see it as more of a transition.
Yeah. And the idea of helping other architects would be a whole nother piece of the business.
Of course, obviously. I feel like, you know, that the industry is ripe for change and opportunity, because I talk to my colleagues, and, you know, I sit on the executive board of the AIA, so I'm talking to architects all the time, and I hear a lot of frustration with the traditional business model. And I really feel like this is an industry ripe for disruption.
Yeah, I agree. It's the reason I get so excited talking to you, Victor. The first time I met you, I felt this when we first met, that you and I have a very similar way of looking at the world, that we have so many ideas coming in and out of our head. We have so many different ways of making the world a better place. It's so inspiring to listen to your ideas and to see you actually executing one of them on a very large scale, and seeing and being here from the very beginning, and watching it actually start with the seeds of this first project. It's going to be very exciting to watch you grow and develop and turn into a very big company. I have no doubt you will.
Absolutely. You know, I'm very driven, and this is what I was meant to do. So I'm going for it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Victor, thank you very much for joining me here today. Victor's website is Building Ingenuity. It's like Build Ingenuity, all one word, .com. The link will be on the show notes. He's also on social media on Facebook at V Caban. It's V-C-A-B-A-N. Victor, are you anywhere else on social media? On Twitter or Instagram or?
No, currently I am on Facebook. I am not on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, and that is it. And then I have my website.
Okay. The Instagram is V Caban, or is it Building Ingenuity?
I have an Instagram for Building Ingenuity. Victor Caban Diaz. That's my personal. I only, you know, friend with people that I know.
Right. So Building Ingenuity on Instagram.
Yes.
Right. We'll have that all in the show notes. Victor, before we wrap, I want to ask you that question that I ask all my guests. What is the one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
I believe is get involved in your community with associations, your local chamber of commerce, and especially with the American Institute of Architects. You know, one of the reasons that I feel like I'm able to, you know, progress and succeed is from the knowledge and mentorship that I get from other architects. And also, you know, as much as we are competitors, we do help each other. I'm getting business from my fellow colleagues, and, you know, it can never feel better than to be part of kind of like a group that's helping each other out. So that's what I would recommend to everybody, is get involved. Don't just sit there alone trying to make business from your, you know, your room in your house or from your little office. Get out there, give back to the profession, and get involved.
Victor, I appreciate you sharing your knowledge here today at Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me.
Complete show notes and a direct link to download this episode will be found at entrearchitect.com/episode 153. And don't forget to visit our website at entrearchitect.com/free course, entrearchitect.com/free course, to gain access to our free digital course, Profit for Small Firm Architects. And you'll learn how to build a powerful profit plan that will work for you and your firm. You'll be profitable this year in 2017. Hundreds of architects have already taken this course. It's a great place to start building your better business. And it's free. EntreArchitect.com/free course to download it and get free access immediately. EntreArchitect.com/free course. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I'm an entrepreneur architect, and I love being an entrepreneur architect. I encourage you to build a better business so you can be a better architect. Love, learn, and share what you know. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. See you next time.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.